About Last Night is a podcast series that I have wanted to record for ages. Each episode, I talk to someone who excels in their field about the highs and lows of their creative journey and how and where they find joy in their lives. Some people have asked me about the name. Why About Last Night? Well, simply because I meet my guests towards the end of the day and we chat over a drink or two. This episode's guest is jewellery designer Sam Hamilton. Sam is one of those people who knew what she wanted to do from a really early age, about seven, I think. In her own words, she really, truly never wanted to do anything else. And it seems to me that Sam has a very clear vision of what she wants to achieve. And having spent a bit of time with her, I have no doubt she will find a way to make all her goals a reality. Sam is bold and strong and fearless, much like the pieces she creates. She also has a great sense of humour, which also runs through her creations, particularly her current collection called the Pretty Dix Collection. That's D-I-X, in case you were wondering. But if your mind was going down a certain path, you're on the right track, and that's all I will say about that right now. A couple of things to note. Sam mentions her fiancé in our conversation. Well, he is now her husband, so many, many congratulations to them. And she is launching her second collection imminently, and I'm sure you could find visuals on her Instagram and her website, which is samhamdesign.com. Though I tried to coax Sam out for a glass of wine, I caught her on a really, really busy day, so we met at a cafe called Bench in the Goldsmith Centre, and I made do with coffee and cake, which was really not a hardship. The Goldsmith Centre is in Farringdon in London, which is where Sam has a studio. We talked about her creative journey to date, her childhood, and the things that really matter to her family, her friendships, and creating jewellery that exudes her creative authenticity. Here's our conversation. I'm so excited to be sitting across from Sam Hamilton, gorgeous jewellery designer. Why don't we kick off with how you got into jewellery design?
How did I get into jewellery design? So it's actually kind of a boring story in the sense that I really, truly never wanted to do anything else.
Okay.
During my childhood and adolescence, I would make beaded jewellery all day long and make various friends and family wear it. And then I knew I was going to go to art college. It didn't matter what my parents did, I wasn't shifting. And
was this from a very early age then?
7.
Oh wow, okay.
Like really...
Very similar to me then.
Yeah.
Because I always knew I wanted to sing.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, I think it annoyed my parents in the sense that I just didn't give anything else any time. But at the same time, I've never been that person coming out of university going, what am I going to do with my life now? Which I don't need to sound trivial about that, because I think
no.
A lot of people have that problem, and it is awful. So I went into art college, and I did my foundation year, but then moved directly into metalwork, and I studied there for, finished my metalwork degree, specialising in jewellery design.
And this was all in Ireland?
It was in Ireland.
You grew up in Ireland?
Yeah, I grew up in Dublin, in Ireland.
Okay. So you did your foundation, that's a year?
Yeah, 1 year, and then I thought very briefly I'd become a painter, because painting is really bloody hard. So I thought, like a challenge, and I started painting, and the first thing I did when I moved into the painting module was I started making jewellery, so it was like, okay.
No. Okay, yeah.
So, then I went and I did metalwork there, and I loved it. I got my basic training, and that was great, and I did Erasmus, which introduced me to, I went to Holland, and it introduced me to the world of contemporary art jewellery.
So what, sorry, Erasmus?
Erasmus, so it's where you study abroad for a semester.
Okay.
So I took off to the Netherlands for 7 months.
Okay.
And I was like 21. It was the best thing I ever did.
Why did you pick the Netherlands, or were there only a certain number of
places? Really bad.
Is it a boy?
No, because I had the choice between Glasgow and the Netherlands, because they both speak English.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Also, I have like a really, really big, deep interest of Dutch contemporary jewellery.
Okay.
But actually, if I'm really honest, that only was generated because I went there.
Okay, but do you think, I'm going to cut you a bit of slack here.
Okay.
But you were going to learn a skill, and you were going to be educated in a different type of jewellery making, as I understand it. So it would be good not to have any barriers in the way.
Yeah, there was that. There was also, and there was the thought of, I'd seen exchange students and how difficult their life was coming to Ireland, and fair enough, they're Spanish or Italian or whatever, and they're coming to learn English, But I just thought, yeah, okay, I'm not going to learn a language. I'm going to learn about a skill. So yeah, I didn't want to be isolated. I was young. I needed a soft, soft push off.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
So that was great. And I came back, did my final year. So, you know, very dramatic, hardest
thing you've ever done.
Yeah, as anyone who's done a final degree show will tell you.
Yeah.
And then told my mother I was going to set up my own brand, and she looked at me and went, well, I wasn't even going to set up my own brand. I was going to become a designer maker, and I was going to set up my own workshop.
Right.
And I was going to make my jewellery, and I was going to sell it. And my mum was like, that's a cool idea. How are you going to do that? And I was like, well, I don't know, but I have no idea.
And I love that though. I love that feeling of fearlessness, which seems to run through
I think
your
it's
whole
to
being.
Do with age, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Then so I managed to. So from there I went on and I got a grant from the EU and I went off to the Netherlands again into a workshop and I worked there for like 5-6 months, and that was great, and I was, you know, paid your basic average wage and it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I came back when it was over to Ireland, and so Brown Thomas, which is this department store in Ireland, which is, it's owned by Selfridges. I don't want to call it Selfridges, but like it's a big one. Anyway, they were doing a call out that year for young Irish talent, and they were doing an expose of different craft and jewellery and whatever. And I decided I was going to get into this. Like, I had decided I was going to be in this showcase. And I got selected for interview.
Okay.
So, like, I set up a studio in my parents' garage. I made my dad help me build this workshop. I spent 4 months making, I think, 6 pieces.
Yeah. I'm thinking that's quite slow.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know much about design.
No, like...
But I'm thinking that's quite slow.
Just completely, you know... No concept of time or time management or anything like that. So I make these pieces. It might be 8, maybe, I don't know. And
now you're just talking yourself up.
Yeah, I know. Bring my sister in as my model.
Right.
Who was, I think, 17 at the time. And I go in front of these buyers or the people who are selecting it for the expose, and I show them, and I hadn't even priced the stuff. Anyway,
you were flying by the seat of your pants in a really good way.
Yeah, but like, obviously, I was not selected. No, of course not. Because I had, like, I couldn't price them.
No,
this is like a discussion of like a failure, right? Because I think it's like absolute failure. Like complete failure. Like reality check.
Yeah,
And also really important, like you don't, you know, I didn't know about production. It taught me.
Yes.
You don't know how to do all these things. Like, okay, yeah, you have this cute idea and you can make one in about 9 years.
It's not going to go anywhere. And isn't that interesting? Because I think from the way you're talking, you are obviously, you had this passion. It's almost like it was downloaded from wherever and you just knew from an early age that you were going to do it. So obviously, if you love something, it's immediately joyful. But it's that old cliche, which I hate, that's so true. It's your challenges that define you.
Yeah,
because you
sure.
probably got to a point where you thought, shit, okay, that didn't go as planned.
Yeah, no, I did. So I freaked out. And I said, you know what, Mum, I would really like to go back to uni. I found this 1 year course. I didn't want to do a master's. I found a 1 year post degree course in Florence.
Oh, lovely.
Contemporary art jewellery. Some of the best artists to me in the world are art jewelers, but the question is that, like, was I an artist?
Okay.
And I decided I wanted to be an artist, but actually what I now know is that I really want to be a jewelry designer, which is a very, very,
very different
thing. It's like oranges and apples in a way.
Okay.
But I don't regret doing it. I learned a lot. It exposed me to a whole world that I knew nothing about. It opened up my thinking process. Like, there's a huge, I suppose, from my, you know, my mother helped me out to do it, obviously. My parents, both of them, and my father, sorry.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, it sounds like he's dead. No, he's not. This is just such a funny story.
Go on, tell me the funny story.
I think it really shows sort of where, in a way, I'm, because I have a great family, but where I'm coming from. So I applied for this course, and I applied with, like, images of my work in a portfolio, and my My mother helped me do the layout and the CV because I was very bad at graphics. I had no computer skills at all.
Okay.
So I think my mom at that point knew how to use Word, so, or PowerPoint. So she puts it together for me. Really not good, the layout. Sorry, Mum. And I sent it off to the college, and they just went no. Like, absolutely not.
Oh.
And I just got so shocked because I, at that point, was like, but I'm brilliant. I'm, you know, I've just done my degree. I did well in that. And, like, then I got this grant. I'm like, I'm fantastic. Why wouldn't you want me? So I send off my... I send off my work again, but, like, in my own layout. And they said, okay, we'll give you an interview.
Oh.
And I went, all right, okay. So I tell my family, like, okay, I've got an interview in Florence. Like, I have to go. I want to go to the school. And so off we go. But... me,
oh, so you're all
my
going.
Mother,
yeah.
My father, my brother, who's like 16 at the time,
okay,
and both my grandparents.
Oh,
so we use this as an excuse to go for a weekend to Florence. Amazing. Okay. So off we go.
Lovely.
That's fine. Then I have my interview on the Friday, and before I know it, we are all arriving into the school. Like, no one is tailed off. No one is tailed. So we are all going into the school. Like, I kind of thought I was going to go in with just maybe my mum or something, or maybe I'd go in alone, but that is not what happened.
Oh, no,
we all
go.
Enter, go into the foyer. And then, like, out comes the, I'm about to say headmistress, but, you know, not
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
the head teacher, head of the faculty, yeah, head of the faculty comes out. And she's looking at me, and she's like, hello.
She's going on to
and
us.
And I'm like, come to your interview, I suppose. So we go up, and we're sitting on it. It's parents, so we're...
Have the family peeled off at this
point? No, they're so happy.
What, upstairs?
No, they're with me in the...
oh, my lord.
It's Florence, it's spring, so we're on a terrace having this interview, because this is the kind of school it was.
Irish families sound like Indian families, I have to say.
She must have thought I was completely mental. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and, you know, to the point where, like, she's asking me questions, and my grandmother is going, tell her about that competition you won. And I'm like... You need to be very quiet. Anyway, it all worked out in the end. I got in, it was fine.
I think she was worried that they'd all turn up again.
I think that might have been a concern. It was absolutely, but it, like, that's not the kind of, we aren't, I don't know why that happened that day, but anyway, it was so funny.
It sounds
it was
like there
so
was good energy around it anyway.
Bananas.
Crazy good energy.
Yeah.
I want to take you back.
Yeah.
Because obviously I did a little bit of stalking on your website. And I read something that I found really interesting on your bio. Well, actually, all of your website was really interesting. But you had this sentence where you said, growing up,
okay,
you didn't conform to the typical female model.
I was a coat stand. And what I mean by that is that I was the big friend. So,
okay.
So I was the one in the club who was holding everybody's coats. I don't mean to feel sorry for myself. I just, like, I was... I'm the height I am now at 12, so I was like almost 6 foot when I was 12. I was also very loud, and I was very, and you know what, and something that has changed between now and then, right, that has changed with things like books like, you know, Lean In and like all the young female movements of like Step Up, and if you are assertive, you're no longer bossy, but that was not the case.
No, I agree.
In late 90s, early 2000s,
totally.
Ireland, like, absolutely not the case. So I was considered very mouthy, I was considered very dominant, and also because I looked, because I was so tall, from when I was very young, people thought
taller.
I was older than I
right.
was, which was actually, it's a really tough thing for a kid to go through, because people treat you, they don't expect you to act like a 7-year-old when you look like you're 11, but you are only 7,
yes.
So, or you are 11 and you look like you're 15,
people don't
really... Okay, so that was hard. I mean, like, my childhood was great, but there was this feeling of I never felt like a little girl. And everybody's got their
everybody's got their
shit.
Yeah.
Too fat, too tall, too thin, too whatever.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
boobs,
totally.
Loads of boobs, big ass, small ass. Doesn't
or
matter.
Maybe big boobs rather than loads of boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either.
But how did that add fuel to your creative fire? Because.
But this was the cool thing about jewellery, right? It didn't matter. A, it didn't matter what size I was. So this is where it all gets a bit basic. But it didn't matter what size I was. I could wear it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
really obvious.
Yeah. So obviously the
really
other thing
important.
So obviously the other thing I collected was shoes. And also what I liked was that the same way clothes have the ability to transform you, you can convey to people a different message about yourself by what piece of jewellery you choose to wear.
Absolutely.
And that is something that I found really fun to play with. I always liked to think I was a bit of a rebel. So for instance, I had like a collection of crosses and I would wear all of them at the same time, like 20 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would have two rings on every finger and I had holes up each ear.
Okay.
And I loved this And I love the fact that I could wear a dog collar on a Tuesday, and then on a Wednesday I could wear, I'm sure people are horrified next door about cultural, what is that thing that people talk about, is like cultural reappropriation, and how, like, if you wear a bindi or if you wear it, you're the worst.
Yeah, yeah,
So.
I don't wear a bindi because I think it's too Indian.
Thing. Oh, no, but at me at 15, I was just about to say, like, I had, like, a really beautiful silver Star of David, which I would wear because I loved it. I thought it was such a cool star. You can't do that.
I can see how that wouldn't fly.
Yeah, no, you can't. Somebody been to Israel and brought it back for me. Like, I mean, you know, so when you're 15, you don't care.
But what I'm getting from you is that all these aspects just brought you joy, and also, and I hadn't thought of jewelry in this way, which is so interesting, because for me, I love clothes and shoes, and that's kind of how I want to portray how I'm feeling on any given day, and my jewelry will enhance that. But then I have, like, I wear a lot of delicate jewelry, and I wear this little necklace that everyone sees me in all the time, but they're kind of staples, whereas it sounds like you used your jewelry as I use my dresses, which is as an extension of your style and what you want to portray to people.
Yeah.
And I love that idea of mixing it up and because I don't do that. Tell me about the process behind your current collection. So we go from the seed of the idea to where we are now. Because for me, I look at this and it's bold and it's brave. No, I'm totally sure. It's fearless.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, you know, it's kind of that whole empowerment, female empowerment, kind of juxtaposed to a very whimsical kind of fun side.
I really wanted to be a boy, but not
did
in
you?
A but not in a not in like I don't feel
not in a
like,
transgender
no,
way.
I do not feel like I'm a boy in a girl's body. I do not. I always felt like if I could wake up and choose again, I'd be a boy.
I'm very much a girl.
But just because I thought my personality would probably fit being a man a lot better than it is fitting a girl. So the Pretty Dicks pendant and Pretty Dicks collection. It's a small silver phallic piece with pearls.
Yes.
And the whole thing about that is that the archetype of femininity is a pearl necklace, isn't it?
Yes. But then I also thought you might be alluding to something terribly rude as well. Or maybe that was just my mind.
Yeah, I knew one of the hashtags online, I think, is something like the pearl necklace I gave myself, of course, like, I mean, there's a million different ways you can pull it, and I enjoy that.
Which I love as
well. I enjoy, yeah. And definitely, I would much prefer it. And why not? So, but I wanted to, and I think also the pearl, like a pearl necklace, that was something in my teens where everybody was like, I don't know, some people have with hoop earrings or whatever, but there was this thing of like, oh, I got pearls. And like everybody, I think, for their 18th got a string of pearls.
Okay.
And so I wanted to play with this very conservative, very feminine
ideal.
Yeah, and like, yeah, and you can't really make it any more crass than putting it with it. Like, you just can't, okay?
Are beautiful.
So, thank you.
Yeah, they are beautiful. And especially the drop earrings on the chains, I think they're really gorgeous. And you've done them in different sorts of gold.
You can do them in gold and silver.
Yeah, and rose gold? Rose
gold is sneaking in. And then, I mean, the balls stuff is... my brother will love this. It's all from him.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. My brother is the youngest of three. He's a little bit. He's like 8 years younger than me. He's crafty and has learned how to live his life just under the radar. But golden balls. Like, didn't matter what he did. The Irish for that is Leroy de Aura, which has been his nickname for a number of years.
Okay.
Again. Look, the balls are connected to the thing of, and a symbol of strength. All the sayings of like, oh, get, like, wear your balls. Balls of steel, balls.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from. And again, like, yeah, just
and that's
have your
just
own.
On a necklace, isn't it?
It's on a chain.
Yeah.
It's very subtle. You wouldn't, you don't look at it and think, oh, there's a big hairy pair of testicles.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're very.
In fact, when I first looked at it, I almost saw an infinity sign.
Yeah.
So I think it can be, I mean, not the little dicks, but, and can I just say, we're not being terribly rude because Sam spells it D-I-X, so it's all perfectly above board.
Yeah. And balls with a Z.
Yeah, so, exactly. So what I love about your collection and you and spending a bit of time with you is there is this creative authenticity. Everything marries up, so there's no bullshit with you, which is what I really love. When we set our stalls out as a creative, we think long and hard about how we want to present ourselves, what our brand means. For me, it's all about emotion, sensitivity, and emotional truth, and being authentic. But your authenticity, I feel, kind of emanates from somewhere else. So I get that self-confidence, which is obviously something that you built as you've grown up through your teenage years. You created a strength inside you, and there are so many powerful images on your website, and especially with this collection. Was that obvious for you that these were the key messages you wanted to bring forward?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, you nailed it.
Is that because of who you are, or what you want to say, or a bit of both?
So before I started Samham, I was working as a designer for another brand.
Okay.
And what I have learned is that I am actually a very horrible designer. And what I mean by that is I find it very difficult to put on the skin of somebody else and design their product.
Yeah, I understand totally.
So that's why when people are like, oh, it's, you know, I meet friends of mine who are working in design houses and they're doing really well, and they say things to me like, oh God, I wish I was doing my own thing. And I'm looking at them going, hey, what you're doing is, it's an amazing skill. Like, it's an amazing skill. So the thing is that if I was really good at interpreting other people's language and like designing it, I would be doing that.
Okay, really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, of course I would. Okay. It's like this thing, like, you know, comedians say it. If you can imagine yourself doing anything else in the whole world, then go and do that. Don't become a comedian. One of the joyful challenges of trying to start a business is that, like, you need to, people keep saying, but who's your market? Like, what's your market want? So I put it in my mind, I'm like, okay, I want to design for women who have a bit of disposable income, who buy for themselves. Yeah. I want who don't take themselves too seriously, but have like strong jobs and are mothers. Look after themselves, tech savvy, and then I start designing something that I think that woman will like.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's dreadful. So it always comes back to, I have to think about what I would want to wear myself.
Yes.
And then I can think about how I can adapt that for other people. And but to answer your original question as to why is it, it's very self-indulgent. It's all for me. Like,
yeah, because you're an artist. You're a creative artist.
Yeah. Level of like, this is good, this is bad for myself.
Yes.
And I have to follow that line.
It comes back to the joy of the creativity and your authenticity. Because I think whatever you do, whether it's jewellery design or writing music or another art form, people really suss out who's going through the motions. And if you're pouring your passion, which you clearly do, into your work, that's what comes across. So when you're saying you started making stuff and you were imagining what kind of woman you would design for, and then you thought, actually no, I'm going to do it for me and what I think is gorgeous, I think that way it's more organic because your tribe will find you.
If I'm honest, right, the dicks are the best and worst thing I've ever done to myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, have you met Sam? She makes dicks. What? Right. I mean, I'm only in my 18th month of that. But you know what? I stand by them because I think they're fun, and people, and they're Marmite. People either hate them or they love them.
Yeah,
their reactions,
no, I totally agree.
And but this is a hard gig to get into, jewellery. There's an awful lot of me about. The competition's fierce.
Yeah.
The hard thing is like a lot of this authenticity, yes, longevity is imperative.
Okay.
Right? You have to just, and I remember people saying this to me in college, like, whatever you're going to do, it's going to take a really long time. It's going to take a really, and I'm sure this is the same with music. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You got to be knocking around for a really long time. And to keep that energy level, to keep yourself sustained when you're standing at parties with friends and they're doing things like talking about mortgages or like getting a new car or, you know, they're moving on to the next stage of their adult life and I'm sitting there going, I just bought a new bicycle.
Guys. But it's a lovely bicycle.
Yeah, it's like, I'm rocking it.
So how do you find joy when you're in those situations? You're balancing your personal and professional life. Your journey is so different to so many of your peers in your friendship group. How do you find joy? How does this jewellery design bring you joy?
How does jewellery design specifically, or how do I find my joy when the jewellery is just like absolute, like I'm done for the day?
Tell me both.
I'll go first with what like absolutely brings me joy outside of what I'm doing, and how I nourish my passion.
I love that.
Who's on this? Who's
on this podcast?
Who's talking right now?
I don't know.
I'm a real people. Well, in my youth, a real people pleaser.
Ah.
But I recognise that heart. Like I really recognise that. So, I would say now, that it's less about pleasing people, but I really invest my time into other people. Like, I'm very much like, I'm a huge extrovert, and I get all my energy from other people. I'm terrible. I just suck it up off people. Give it to me. I really, really work on my friendships, and I work hard on them. Yeah. And I love them,
I agree.
I also love attention, so that really helps me out. And then the second way I would is through food, which is again, I suppose, very much attached to being a people pleaser, because like, what is the best way to make people like you?
Cake.
Feed them.
Yeah.
Feed them.
For me, it's pudding. Yeah. I make puddings.
Yeah. People
and
like
cake.
You.
Yeah.
People really like you. So, but cooking is really good. It's a really good form of like, I don't like meditating. I don't like yoga. I know. But cooking for me. I don't want to say it's meditation, but it's something that you have to really.
Therapeutic.
Yeah, you have to go into it, and you have to work it out, and then you have to cook it, and then the best part is, you get to eat it. Unlike bloody meditation, where you sit there for 15 minutes, have a breathe, then you're like, oh, I'm rejuvenated. No. I'll have that roast chicken. Thank you. There we go. That's the joy that I think I get from.
And the jewellery design, I mean, I know we've kind of assessed that it's your calling, but there've got to be days where you just think,
Well, I also do have a propensity to be extremely, I think a lot of jewellers have control issues, if I'm
honest. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think you can really obsess about minute detail in jewellery, and that's fine.
Okay.
Rather than getting, maybe it's unfair to brush every jewellery designer with control issues. I get a great sense of achievement.
Okay.
When I, and jewellery making is problem solving as well, which I really enjoy.
Okay,
like,
lovely.
Like, you want to make a closure, like a clasp, that not only does it work beautifully, but it looks slick. Like,
that's
a really, I mean, I enjoy that side of it a lot. I enjoy the technical side and finding the things that fit. It's puzzle work too, and I mean, that's why I enjoy freelance. I really enjoy doing other people's technical work, because
so you do that as well?
Yeah,
as well as your brand.
What
are the new ideas?
Future plug.
Yes,
I'm launching my second collection in October.
Okay. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I can. So with my first collection, I launched with 12 pieces, and you know, I learned an awful lot about production and things like that. So my second collection, what I'm doing, I'm the Dixer Stain.
Yeah.
But I have extended the balls range into various different product types. So there's some rings, there's cufflinks coming around, there's like more statementy balls, less statementy balls. You know, so like, it's more fun in that way.
My imagination is running wild right now. Right,
moving balls. That's a fun one. I'm pleased with them. There's that, and then I'm working on a capsule collection of pieces based on the motif of a sheriff star.
Oh, great! Oh, I like the sound of that one.
So, it's a nod to, do you know what? You're a great girl. Give yourself a star. Do it yourself. You don't need to be waiting around to be top of class. And that you're okay. And I think that's something that we all need to think about from time to time. Like, I'm actually okay.
Yeah.
And it echoes the thing of, I am. I'm large and in charge. I'm here.
I love that. Large and in charge.
Yeah. It's the funness of, like, a sheriff star is a comic motif of authority.
Yeah. So I love that. So I love the way you play with humour in everything you do, even though there is an overriding important message.
Yeah, I'm releasing a wedding jewellery line.
Oh.
Which is unisex wedding jewellery. So this is something I'm really excited about. It's also higher price point because it's fine. It's gold rather than silver.
Okay, and will you work with stones then as well?
It's working with them. It's at the moment, the first collection is diamonds, like brilliant round diamonds and varying different sizes. But it's so I won't say much more about that.
No,
it's
still, that it's still, is exciting.
It's still coming down the line. So that's something to really look forward to. And I'm excited to see how it goes, and I won't lie, I'm a little smug about it. Like, I think it's quite good.
I'm excited too. I can't wait to see and hear more about it. Tell me about, I mean, look, you are just 30, your career arguably is just starting, and you've had 18 months of great excitement. What have been the highs so far?
Believing in myself enough And I have to give this to Nick.
Is this fiance?
My fiance.
It's such a horrible word.
Yeah. Hi, so far, he just has an unshakable... He just was like, you've just got to do it. And I was sitting there going, looking at him going... So actually pushing off and just actually committing to something and being okay, looking at the fact that failure is quite likely, okay? Like, being realistic, okay? And looking at that and going, do you know what? If this doesn't fly, you will live.
Yes.
And you will do something else.
You are so wise.
And the thing is that you don't have any... You don't have any regrets, like the it's a pity, but it's not. So I would say facing that, and then other highlight, because I think that's really grim, isn't it? Right, just like actually, I'm beginning now. That's been the best bit. I think getting my place here.
Yes.
In the Goldsmith Centre. It's an amazing resource. It's incredible.
How did you get your place here?
I applied and like just did not leave them alone. I was like, take me. No. I did an interview and they accepted me, which meant that I went into their business hub for 1 year, and you get mentoring, but you also have a workshop and you have a studio. And last, but so getting in here, I did Mastered, which was really good. Mastered is a program for creatives, professionals working in and around the fashion industry. So you've got everything from photographers, accessory designers, makeup artists,
okay,
producers. It's kind of like it's a network, and I met some incredible people from that.
Okay.
And as a result, and like that was great, because also like I'm only in London, I'm a blow-in like everyone else. I've only been here for...
You're a what?
A blow-in.
Blow-in. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a blow-in.
Okay.
London. Somebody who lives and is from and was born in London is a rarity. I mean, you are.
That's
a
me.
That's you.
I am.
Like, it's unusual. It's because, yeah. So no, I came and it meant that I started to build a network here,
which
was amazing, because I was
I love that high. That's a really good high.
Yeah.
Tell me about a few lows.
Oh Jesus.
Maybe not getting into the thing that you wanted to get into.
Oh yeah, my department store dream.
Yes, you're
no, okay, so that, yeah, okay, that was a low. That was a long low. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Not a. I'd just be really straight up, I suppose. I got made redundant.
Oh.
Yeah. But in another way, and you could say, it led me to the path that I was here.
Yeah, yeah. But at the time,
when I moved to London, at the time, it's really shit. But in the same way, it was shit. But it actually made me less frightened, because it's a anybody who's been through a redundancy knows, and also although it's completely logical why they're letting you go, and not because you're shit,
no,
but it's still, it's like, I think in the for a few weeks it was very traumatic, it was horrible,
I'm sure,
but it gives you, and this is why failure, like obviously though I'm not joined to run at it, is it gave me, I think when bad things happen, it does give you a sense of like, yeah, well, I can less fear. It hits the fear.
And you can face whatever's around the corner.
Yeah, that wasn't great. That wasn't good. Silly things like getting jobs that fall through, but you've already bought materials and you haven't taken the deposit, and then you're in debt, and then you're like, oh my God, how did I do this? Really stupid things like that.
Yeah. No, but I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, things like that happen, yeah.
Because the buck stops with you, it's your business.
Annoying your suppliers, that is bad, very bad.
But I'm hoping that the highs outweigh the lows.
Absolutely.
By a big shot.
Of course they do, but there you go, there's a few lows.
I am totally inspired by talking to you. No, I totally am. I love it. I like that. I feel like I've got a little bit of a handle on the jewellery design world, which I hadn't, and it's lovely to get inside your head, because it's a fun place to be. But before we say goodbye, I would like you to define joy for you in three words.
Joy for me is... Joy... I can't put it into three words. Joy for me is probably sitting around a table eating with the people I love, and that's the best part of.
Sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, that's the.
So friends, food, and jewellery.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's it.
Sam, it's been such a pleasure. I'm such a big fan, and everyone really needs to check out your website, which is
samhamdesign.com.
And they can find you on Instagram as well.
Yes, they can.
And I'm very excited about the new collections. Can't wait to see them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, my love.
Thank you.